The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. I always remember Christ the King Sunday. I don't know why. As a child, it was the Sunday that we always thought about Jesus, the Last Judgment, and we sang, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." That's the thing I remember the most about Christ the King. But the title that we use today is Jesus, Christ the King of the Universe. And I find that word universe to be a kind of an interesting addition to whatever it was I thought of as a child. I thought it was probably enough that he just be king of the world. But to say that he is king of the universe, that is to say that he is king of all that we are yet to discover. All the things we don't even know about that could have to do with space or outer space. It could also have to do with the infinite life of our own hearts and the infinite capacity that we have to love. Jesus is king of it all. His simple confirmation to the good thief confirms a kingdom that is beyond our best, if limited, attempts on this earth to build a kingdom worthy of the call we have received as Christians. Jesus says to the man who is compassionate to him on the cross next to him, he says, "Today you will be with me in that kingdom." Well, we just got back from a great trip. We celebrated saints on this earth. We celebrated saints in heaven. We went to shrines of saints. We reflected on what it is to be a saint. We reflected also on what it is to be subjects of the kingdom of heaven as saints. We recognize today, as the title of today's feast, that he is king of everything even beyond our imagination. And yet our earthly kingdoms and nations, despite their limitations, produced a beauty and glory to God, in particular in the saints who were raised up in every period of history and culture in the past 2,000 years. Our liturgical year comes to an end today with this Feast of Christ the King, instituted by Pope Pius IX in 1925, to celebrate the Jubilee year, but also to celebrate the 1600th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea in the year 325, when Christ's kingdom on earth was united by one creed, what we call today the Nicene Creed. We are still united by that creed, by the way. This feast was established to proclaim the sovereignty of Christ and the Church over all forms of earthly government, especially in 1925 to make a statement of that authority over the totalitarian governments of Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin. That Jesus Christ is the only sovereign king. We declare our loyalty to him by the quality of our Christian commitment, expressed in our serving of others with sacrificial and forgiving love, and by our solidarity with the poor. Compare this king with the historical dictators of the past, or any of the autocratic rulers in our world today, whose governance is starkly in contrast to the person and spirit of Jesus Christ. The feast was also established to remind us of the fidelity and loyalty we owe to Christ our King, who by his incarnation and death on the cross has made us both adopted children of God and future citizens and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. St. Paul describes the King in this way: "My brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones of light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This so-called Colossians hymn of St. Paul declares the coming of this kingdom. We honor Christ as the King of the universe and the King of our hearts by allowing him to take control of our lives and reign in our hearts. St. Paul continues, "All things were created through him and for him. He is before all else that is, and in him everything holds together. He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross." The cross is his throne, and the Sermon on the Mount is his rule of law. His citizens need only obey one major law: love God with your whole being and love others as I have loved you. Our King's love is selfless, compassionate, forgiving, and unconditional. Yet we accuse Jesus of claiming to be God. We wanted him to die by the most shameful and painful death. We brought him before Pilate and accused him of causing sedition. We found this man inciting our people to revolt, opposing payment to the tribute to Caesar, and claiming to be Christ, a king. Why? Because we want to be in control. And yet, as we continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Pilate questioned Jesus about his kingship. Jesus admitted that he is a king, but declares that his kingdom is not of this world. Neither his present nor his future reign operates according to any world vision of power and dominance. Jesus' kingdom, the reign of God, is based on the Beatitudes, and his rule through loving service is unlike any other earthly authority. He has come to bear witness to the truth about a larger and eternal kingdom in which our citizenship finds true fullness. The kingdom of God is a space. It exists in every home where parents and children love each other. It exists in every region and country that cares for its weak and vulnerable. It exists in every parish that reaches out to those in need. The kingdom of God is a time. It happens whenever someone feeds a hungry person, or shelters a homeless person, or shows care to a neglected person. It happens whenever we overturn an unjust law, or correct an injustice, or avert a war. It happens whenever people join in the struggle to erase ignorance and to pass on the faith. The kingdom of God is in the past, in the life and work of Jesus of Nazareth. It is in the present, in the work of the church, and in the efforts of many others to create a world of goodness and justice. And it is in the future, reaching its completion in the age to come. The kingdom of God is already and not yet complete. Finally, the kingdom of God is a condition. Its symptoms are love, justice, and peace. Jesus Christ is King. We pray today that God may free all the world to rejoice in his peace, to glory in his justice, and to live in his love.